Okay, we would like to welcome the audience and distinguished visitors to the first of a series of 20 lectures, 20 shiurim, on the topic of, I guess, the topic is really called the structure of the Babylonian Talmud. I think this is not, of course, aids the Talmud study, but rather we're speaking about how the Talmud was put together. In other words, what I'd like to do is give you a series of 20 shiurim that will describe and try to describe how we understand that the Talmud was put together. The construction and the structure of the Talmud, how it was pieced together through history. And this is a topic which is not only of vital importance in our understanding and our emunah, our faith in Torah Shebi'al Peh, but it's also a topic that's become much, much more controversial after a number of years. In particular, a series of critical studies on the Talmud and the nature of the Talmud's construction have forced Shlomi Amuni Yisrael to once again offer a justification for the order justification, or at least to offer a intelligent understanding to the Talmud as we see it and we analyze it with respect to, you know, our Masorah tradition, how in fact Chazal and the Rishonim understood it to be as such. So this is obviously an issue and a topic that is much more technical than than perhaps many of the other shiurim we've given on either the Magen Avuchim or the Gaon. It will probably involve much more textual analysis on the Gemara. We hope to supply the Amir Hashem in the coming shiurim. But I think that it's important at least to begin with certain overviews and to understand really what the issues are. Okay. Now, I'm going to be speaking, I'm going to begin. I mean, there are many places to begin. But I'm going to begin with the question of what's called the Chasimus HaTalmud. Right? The Chasimus HaTalmud means when the Talmud was, in fact, some people would say authored, when it was redacted. There are many terms, and actually the different terms used actually, in a certain sense, express different opinions on really what took place. Now, the famous Gemara, which is always invoked and quoted, which actually speaks about the formation of the Talmud, is the Gemara Bava Metzia. The statement, Shmuel, begins on Daf Pehe Amud Beis. That's folio 85, side the end of side B. And on folio 86, the beginning of side A. So there, Shmuel says that he saw in the Sifra the Adam HaRishon, because Baruch Hu showed him the Sefer of Adam HaRishon. What is the Sefer of Adam HaRishon? So Rashi explains, based upon the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon, Dor Dor V'Doshav, Dor Dor V'Chachama. He showed Adam HaRishon every generation, which it, with its seiflim, I guess literally you would say its scribes, with its dosha, those who is exegetes, and dor dov chachamav, its wise people. So, and Shmuel says that what was shown, among the things that were shown, was Rebbe v'Rab Nosson seif Mishnah. Rebbe v'Rab Nosson a seif Mishnah. And Rav Ashi v'Ravina Seif Hayroah. Okay? Literally means Rebbe v'Rav Nosson Seif Mishnah. Rebbe and Nosson are the end of the Mishnah. And Ravina and Ravina are Seif Hayroah. It doesn't say Seif Gemara. It says Seif Hayroah. Hayroah literally means instruction. So Rashi explains Seif Mishnah, Seif Tanayim. Right? At the end of the Tanayim. Ajimayim amu ishis devarai for beis hamedrash. Until the time every person said, said what he had to say in halacha in the beis hamedrash. Vayu tamidim gosim shmua levada, and the tamidim would learn every halacha individually. Valo yu mesachtas duros, but they weren't organized mesachtas. V'sidah v'kibas ala seder, so Rabbi basically organized, compiled all the halachas. Basically, Rebbe arranged all the mesectas. He took all the different halachas, the myriad halachas that was individually in all the Bate Midrashim, and what he did was he put them together in mesectas. Okay? So, Rashi, when it says, Rebbe Rav Nosson Sayyid Mishnah describes Rebbe's contribution to the compilation, the redaction of the Mishnah. Then, what is called Rav Ashiv Ravina Seif Hayra. So, says Rashi, Seif Kol HaMorayim. Right? He's the end of all the Morayim. In other words, Rebbe and Rav Nosson are the end of all the Tamayim, and Ravina Rav Ashi are the end of the Morayim. Adjimen lo haisa Gemara ala Seder. Until their days, there wasn't a organized Gemara. Ela kishayisa sha'el l'shael is batam, ha-mishnah v'beis ha-medrash. If someone asks the reason for a mishnah the Beis HaMedrash, or she'ela al ma'is ha-ma'ayra, b'din mamas, or is the veheter, or someone had to have a shayla halacha, kolechel v'yechel oy metayma. Everybody would say his own reason, say his own reasoning. Of asher avina sidru shmuis ha-ma'ayim, shalafneim. So avina avash basically took all these interpretations, all these psak halachas, right? And, you know, he arranged them. The kabbal ha-sela ma'sechtois, and he placed every halachic decision interpretation, right? He placed it near. You shouldn't use the word near. Basically, he arranged it so that it would be found, right? It would be taught together with the corresponding Mishnah, right? There were kashas and terutzim, etc., etc. Basically, what is that? Rav Ashi took the discussion of the Morayim. And these were, you know, scattered discussions. And what he did was, he organized the Gemara and the Mishnah of Rebbe. That's what Rav Ashi did, okay? So, that's in fact, actually, the basis of what everybody understands in the 5th century, Rashi and Ravina, Ravina Rav Ashi, are in fact, actually, the redacted of the Talmud. And that's, in fact, actually, Magal B'Puma De'Inshi. And this is actually the Lashon of the Rambam, right? Right? And says the Rambam is Akdama to the Mishnah Torah, right? Right, all this psakim, akol chibur of Ashi begmorim Moshe v'yad Yomav, etc., etc. Nimta Ravid Rav Ashi v'chavreim soib gedoli choch mi Yisrael, hamatikim teresh bi'alpeh, gazru gazer, etc., etc. So the Rambam understands, you know, Rambam actually paskins, or right, and bases this that Ravid Rav Ashi soib choch mi Yisrael, hamatikim teresh bi'alpeh. And that's the, in fact, actually Lashon of the Rambam, that's what's generally understood. Now, the fact is, right, is that first of all, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from the Igeres of Shlir Goyim. Right? Shlir Goyim wrote a famous Igeres, a letter, which serves as a very, very important document because it is one of the few and probably the most extensive historical narrative, not only on the Gemara, but the Kufas after the Gemara, including the, you know, the times of the Sabaraim, the Goyim, as we'll see, etc., etc. Now, Shri Goyim says that he brings a Gemara in Kuvav in Sanhedrin, which speaks about that the difference between Derech Rishonim, Derech Achronim. Actually, part of this Gemara appears in Brachos of Chaf Ben Aleph. There it speaks about that in the early generations they limited their knowledges to certain Mishnayos and Nezikin, and they came to a Mishnah in Machshirin. Right? They said Havayis the Rav Shmuel Kachazinin Haich. In other words, they didn't. I don't know what it says. The means they didn't understand it. They didn't see all the depths. And the Gemara says in the later generations, Ana Mastisim Tleisim Esifter. There were 13 ways of explaining the Mishnah Machshirim, meaning that in fact, actually, what Rav Shmuel is going to speak about the expansion of Torah right throughout history. And then he goes on and says, "Lefu ma'achi toisfah hayroah dora basadora hayroah," right, was increased one generation after another generation, ad Ravina, into Ravina. Ubasad Ravina ifsika, and after the time of Ravina, hayroah cease. Kidachaze Shmuel yachinoi pesifid ad Berishin, like Shmuel saw in the Sefer about the Berishin. This is the Gemara that I just quoted to you above a Metzia. Right? Davaksibe Rav Ashi Ravina Saifaira. Rav Ashi Ravina Saifaira. Actually in Rav Shlira Gain, there are actually two versions. There's the Spanish version and the French version. In fact, actually in the what I have, I can show you here over here, there's actually two columns. There's the Spanish version, the French version. And traditionally, it was always understood, I think, that the Spanish verse, I think this is true, I might be mistaken, the Spanish verse, I find the Spanish verse a little bit easier to read, and most people had actually used the Spanish version, but I think about 40, 50 years ago, there was a famous professor at the university, Epstein, Yaakov Nochem Epstein, who conclusively proved that the French version is the authentic version, and the Spanish version is not authentic. But actually, the Spanish version is easy to read, so unless we have very, subtle diukim, I might, go to Spanish. I think it's the French version approved. Anyway, but then, what's the problem? The problem is, right, that this concept that Rav Yehuda Ashi Soif HaRah is obviously not true, because the Gemara quotes a Moroyim who lived in generations after Rav Yehuda Ashi. In fact, actually, we see many Gemaras that Rav Yehuda Ashi makes statements, and the Gemara comments on his statement. So, for example, even there's a Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach and Aleph. This is actually this Gemara is brought as a raya from Rabbi Isaac Stein in his Perush on the Smag, that speaks about that the Baba Rav Ashi was afraid to be. The Gemara speaks about the prohibition of writing down Torah Shebi'al Peh. And because of this, Maba de Rav Ashi, I think the son of Rav Ashi, was afraid to metaltal a certain Sefer Dagarata. And the Gemara says, no, now you can do it, because Eitha Shona Fiyos Terasecha. So, the reason I bring this guy, there are many guys, when I bring this guy is because of Isaac Stein, who's one of the great Mefarsh, who's the Mefarsh on the Smag, actually brings this Zariah. He's actually bringing this Zariah as a proof that actually the Gemara was not written down during the time of Rav Ashi. He wants to claim, when it says, Rav Yehuda Ashi Soif HaRah, doesn't say they wrote it down. He wants to claim, actually, in accordance with the Hagdama of the Smag, the Seis Mrs. Gedolos, that actually the Gemara was written down first in the 7th, 8th century. But in any case, he says, Baba Rav Ashi, why would he go, if Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara down, right? So why would Baba Rav Ashi be machben after the Tatal, a Sefer Dagarata? And then the Gemara says, after that, Eislas Hosson of Feser Asecha. So it's clearly Eislas Hosson of Feser Asecha was generations after Rav Ashi, probably Sabarai, right? But now, Rav Isaac Stein is just bringing that Gemara to prove that the Gemara wasn't written down to Rav Ashi. But it's a very simple case, which we can clearly see, that the Gemara was not Mestayim with Rav Yehuda Ashi. The Gemara was Mestayim generations after that. And Lemaisa, it turns out that the Rosh HaMedabrin, of Yitzhak Isaac Halevi, is also of this opinion, right? That, in fact, actually, the Gemara was not written down during the Rav Ashi, it was written down in generations after that, which are called the generation of Banos HaBarai, which we'll speak about in Yitzhak Hashem. But in any case, without feeling to forget about the Achroinim, Rav Shlira Gaon says, after he says that Rav Yehuda Ashi is Sefer Ra, right? So he says, Uvasa Hachi, after this, even though there wasn't Vade HaRah, there wasn't clear HaRah. By the way, Derech Agav, Ravina Rav Ashi, the Ravina here is Ravina Zute Breid Rav Huna. Right? And not the Ravina who was the Chavar. In other words, the Ravina who was the Chavar of Ashi. But then there's a Ravina Zuta Breid Rav Huna, who's a nephew of Ravina. And Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi, the Deus HaShoinim, claims that that's the Ravina that the Gemara is speaking about. Okay, that's a footnote in the edition of Levine and Gersh Yogoyin, and I think people accept that the Ravina was speaking about. In any case, so says Rav Shira Goyin, even though there wasn't Vade Haro, whatever that means, I mean, you can't argue on the Gemara. So Barai the Mafarshe, so Barai, who are Mafarish, who are Kroivim Lohiro, they were Kroiv Lohiro, the Iku Idr Abonat Sabarai. In other words, there were rabbis after that, after Ravina Ravashi, and they're not called Hayra, but they're called Korev, Mekave Lahayra, and they were Mefarish, right? They're called Osabarai the Mefarshe. They were people Mefarish, I guess Mefarish Lahayra, that came up to Ravina Ravashi, right? And they're called Rabban Sabarai. Now, so even Rav Shira Goyin acknowledges that after Ravid Ravashi, there was a whole generation called the Rabban Sabarai, who are Korev Lahira, they're Rabban the Mefarshi, they're Mefarish the Lahira, and they appear in the Gemara too. And, you know, they appear in the Gemara too. I mean, the yeshiva is learning Bava Metzia. You know, so everybody learns Beis Aban Aleph. Omer Avnoi! Umetzasa, the Athiyadei Mashma. So some of the Achredi, but I said, well, who's Ravnoi? It's me, Ravina. But if you're looking actually, and I think the Achredi, there's a Shaina, what's it say? There's Ravnoi, it's Rabban Sabarai. The first Sugi in Kiddushin, Rav Shira Goyin says he has a Messiah, a tradition, that the first Sugi in Kiddushin is from the Sabarayim, the whole Sugi. Derech Ha'ish, Lach Zohaisha, the whole thing, Derech. No, you learn that in the yeshiva like it's a constrained sugya. He says he has a tradition that's from Rabbanu Sabarai. But in any case, that's what he says. Now, the question is,
when he says that they were carved to Ravina,
I know what that means. I know what that means. Lamaisa, all this requires a biyo. Now, when did the Gemara end? So, that which, he's speaking right once again. I'm actually reading from my edition, Levine. So actually, he says on page 97. This which I read for you is on page 69. This is the from Adov Binyamin Menashe Levine. He's like he put out an edition of Shira Goyin. And what I quoted for you was on page 69, but on page 97, he brings the Rabbanan Sabarai, Ubasri Molech Rav Asi, right? Rav Asi, actually it's Rav Yosi, Uvayoyme Seif Haira, Rav Yosi is already years after Rav Ravashi, this Tayim Talmud, the Talmud was ended. So clearly, Rav Shira Goyin understands, and it's interesting. He says, "Soif Hayra Vistayim Talmuda." What does that mean? But clearly, Rav Shira Goyin understands that that which, in other words, the Gemara says Ravina Ravashi was Soif Hayra. I mean, it's only relative. There was another Siyam Talmud that took place 50 years ago, 100 years after that. With Rav Yosi, who was from the Sabarayim.
We're taking for granted the Sefer Rabbins in the Talmud.
Well, that's the problem. See, the problem is that if in fact Sefer Rabbins means the end of the Talmud, why by Rav Ravash does he say Sefer Rabbins? And here he says Sefer Rabbins time Talmud. It's mentioned the two separate things. In other words, it seems to be in two stages. Now.
So the way the Rav read the passage from the first passage from Shura then,
just say for a while,
like that there was a major there was major ridership going on until Rabbeinu and Rashi, and beyond that, there was some, you know, little things being filmed.
So you should know.
We can still view the major corporate.
So you should know. Bolshekivanta, but you were right. You were mechaven actually the deras harishayim. The deras harishayim. Right. Wants to say, the Deus Rishonim wants to say, let me, he has several passages here which are important. Now, first of all, the Deus Rishonim, Ishita is that first of all there was actually a type of a Siddurah Talmud time of a Bayi V'Rava. He actually understands the Siddurah Talmud was done in stages, but in any case, what he does say over here, you should know something. It's not clear how to the way the Deres Hashanim is written is the way actually it's arranged. It's like crazy, like the volumes are in the middle of. But anyway, it says over here Krache. And I'm on page 551. Right? So the Deres Rishonim does say, in fact, actually, that that Tiravid of Ashe is Sefer Yor. But he explains that, right? That there was actually a Sidurim after that. And what does he say? So he says, I'm looking for this actually. First of all, he says Rabbeinu Sabai wrote down the Talmud. He says on page 24, it actually Krach Vav. Shemei Ravashi Bavadai lo nichta. During the time of Ravashi, the Gemara Soli wasn't written. Like he says, we have many rayas for this. But then, I'm looking for an important passage, right? Let me see. It says over here that the Siddur was during the time of Bayi V'Rava. Anyway, his shita is that even though the Ika Siddur, first of all, he says the first Siddur was time of Bayi V'Rava. And then he says the Ika Siddur, that's what he says. For example, on page 567, right? So in once again, hey, he says that the Soib Siddur Talmud Hayabi Meya Bayi V'Rava, right? And there are many things of Bayi V'Rava. There was a Siddur during the Bayi V'Rava. But then after that, there was another Siddur during the time of Ashi. Right? Now, so what did the Rabbanan Sabarai do? So there are certain questions that were still open. And the Rabbanan Sabarai came along and questions that weren't answered by Ravina Rav Ashi. The Deres Rishonim says that the Rabbanan Sabarai came and answered these questions. Right? Right? And according to this, we're showing there are actually two stages of Rabbanan Sabarai after Ravina Rav Ashi. And, right? And that's a sheet in several places, right? Of course, he attacks other scholars for putting too much emphasis on Rabbanan Sabarai, but in fact, actually, he doesn't know different. And but
two generations?
A few generations. There were a few generations of Sabarai after Rabbi Rav Ashi. There were two stages. There were actually, according to Rav Tzvi Rishonim, four stages. There's a Baiva Rava, stage number one. That's the Ikka Siddur HaTalmud. It's during the time of Baiva Rava. And then after that, there's another Siddur of Avinu Rav Ashi. And then after that, there's another Siddur of Rabbanan Sabarai. And then after that, there's a second Siddur of Rabbanan Sabarai. That's basically the Deus Rishonim's view. And clearly, the Deus Rishonim understands that Sofei Ra does not mean the end of the Gemara. And he says that quite clearly. He says, on, for example, page 551 in volume in Vav, Hu gan lach shoy ki stam de gemara bechol makom rak bizman chasibas haTalmud hanu merav Rav Ashi. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. But in fact, actually, he says, that there are certainly things that were after this too, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, now. Yeah.
This may be the next year, later year.
Why, yeah.
According to that, what defined the end of the Talmud?
So that's a very good question. What is the Talmud? And that's actually a big question. In other words, why did the Talmud end where it ended? Okay, that's a very, very big question. It's not clear what answer Yitzchak Isaac Levy would give. You certainly can't say that all the problems were solved, because obviously there are problems that are not solved, okay? There's even cheetahs of certain people who hold that Talmud didn't end. And that's the Rishonim. But in any case, we'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem, okay? Now, what I want to do is that the question is, there are a lot of issues here, and when Mitzvah can go into the issues of Deus Rishonim, I didn't want to go into Deus Rishonim, I just want to say Deus Rishonim does, in other words, sponsor this view that certainly there was Sidurim other than Rabbi Rav Ashi. So the question is, right, what is unique about Rabbi Rav Ashi? By the way, you should know something, the Rambam doesn't mention the Sabarayim. One of the big pillars. There's no mention of Sabarayim in the Rambam. Maybe he includes him in the Goinim. But there's no mention of Sabarayim in the Rambam. Now, the thing is, the question I want to raise is, What is the lashon of Seif Hayra? That's important. Or even more so, is what is the lashon of Hayra? This is a Seif Talmud. It's a Seif Hayra. And I'm not even going to the question, was written, not written, that's a separate issue, which we'll deal with in Yitzhak Hashem. But the question is, what's called Seif Hayra? The Gemara says, Ravid Rav Ashi Seif Hayra. And number one. Number two, the Gemara is certainly making a very, very important parallelism between Rebbe and Rav Nosson and between Rav Ashi and Ravina. Now, it's very, very interesting is that there's another parallelism made in another Masechta. I think it's Daf Nuntes, I'm an Aleph in Gittin. And there the Gemara says that Mimais Rebbe the Eilach lo matzano terug gdula magam echad except for Rav Ashi. In the Testament Aleph in Gittin, the Gemara also makes a parallelism, albeit maybe a different parallelism, between Rebbe and Rav Ashi. Terug gdula magam echad. Omerav acha b'rei d'rava. So the question that I'm raising is, if in fact, as Rav Shira Goyen says, that the Talmud continued after Rav Ashi, which clearly it did, so the question is, so what's Seif Hayra? And what does Hayra mean? Now, the lashon of Hayra is, Hayra is certainly a lashon that means psak halacha. For example, the Gemara says in Saita, I think it's Chafalaf ben Aleph. It's Chabez ben Aleph. The Gemara says, Kol ha-meira halacha min ha-mishna einu elam avali yolam. Meaning that to be meira halacha, like Rashi learned, you have to know Gemara. And the fact is, Gemara in Hayim and Aleph in Brachos, there the Gemara learns, right, that Mishnah, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Gemara learns Gemara from Lahayraisam, in the Pasuk Lahayraisam. So we see that the Gemara is associated with Hayra. So what does Hayra mean? Now, from these sources, it would indicate that, I want to, I mean, Rashi in every case, and Rashi in every case in Shas, and Hamad Aleph there in Blachos, Mimzadim Abbez in Blachos, Yud Alpha Abbez in Blachos, a few places in Blachos. Rashi understands that Gemara is Svara. Be Miyasha Mishnayas, Esikashus Mishnayas, be Miyasha them. Although, the fact is that the Lashon of Hayla is probably used more often in Shas as being a Psach Halacha. Ein Meirin Halacha, right? Min HaMishta, only but through Gemara. It's coming to Psach Gemara. But what does it mean here, Rav Yehuda Ravashi? Because we associate, number one, we associate Gemara with really Svara. And not only that, but the fact is that, you know, many times we'll see Mitzvah Taisvis and Chulin Beis and Beis and Shabbat Tisvah Beis understand that the Shabbat Tai of the Gemara is also from Ravashi. As the Taisvis says many times, and Shabbat Tai of the Gemara is certainly something that you associate with Bilbo, not with what's called a Psach Halacha. So, what I wanted to say is I wanted to medayik of Shira Goyin. A Shira Goyin says, in his page 69, he says, now, you should know something, okay? This is a very, very crucial issue. Why is it a crucial issue? Because the opinion of certain scholars today, I mean, foremost among them, Professor Halivni, is that the Stam of the Gemara is at a very much later period than the Halachas of the Gemara. At a much later period, the Halachas of the Gemara. And Professor Halivni wants to claim that Seif Hayra is speaking about what's called, you know, unexplained law, apodictic law. After Rav Yehuda Ravashi came to Shaka Vitalia of the Gemara. And we're going to go into it. This is his famous theory of Stamayim, right? In other words, he understands Hayra to be apodictic law, means law, which is passed down without explanation. He claims that there was no Besaira on the Shaka Vitalia. Shaka Vitalia came many generations after Ravashi, and because they had no idea what Ravashi was speaking about. So therefore the entire Gemara is a bilbul. It's basically an incommensurable conversation between the Maimras of Amorayim and the Stamayim, who are the Bali Shagavatai of the Stam of the Gemara. And that basically creates what in his mind is the difficulties in the text of the Gemara. And we'll go into this in Mietz Hashem, we'll have many times hours to speak about this. But that's what it means Hayra is. Now, I want to say a little bit different. A lot different, but in any case, what is Sefer Hayra? Because Rav Shira Goyin, once again, says that after Rav Yehuda Ravashi, there was Sabarai the Mefarshe, the Mefarish Perushin. They were craving the Hayra. Now, what does this mean? So I want to claim the following thing. What? They were mafarish perushim. They were that a makalvil that a korv lahayra, and they called the bonus abarai. So it could be the following thing. What did Rebbe do? What did Rebbe do? It's interesting. Is that Rashi here in Pevav ben Aleph, right, understands that Rebbe put together the Mishnah, redacted the Mishnah. And that's also Rashi, early on in the same Masechta, Mavon Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis. Very interesting, the Gemara in Lamed Gimel and Aleph Mavon Metzia, that's following 33 side A, the Gemara says, right, Tana Rabbanim, on four lines from the bottom, Lamed Gimel and Aleph, Ha'oizkim Mimikra, Mida Vena Mida. People concern themselves with Mikra, it's called Mida Vena Mida. The Mishnah, Mida, those who learn Mishnah, that's even better. Gemara, there's no better Mida than Gemara. Right? And the Gemara says, but then the Gemara says, the Bryce says, you should rats run to Mishnah more than Gemara. So there's a stinger. It's kasha, says the Gemara. On one hand, you said, right, that Gemara, there's nothing better than Gemara. But then you said, rats to Mishnah more than Gemara. So, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Bimei Rebbe Nishtas Mishnah Zo. To the time of Rebbe, there was, and the way Rashi learns, that which it says, Gemara is the best thing, that was taught to the time of Rebbe. What do we see? We see something that really, Rebbe is not only, what does Sof Mishnah mean? Rebbe inaugurated the concept of Gemara. In other words, we usually think of Rebbe as being the author of the Mishnah, which most people think as being the example of straight laws without Shaka Batalia, but really it was Rebbe who encouraged Gemara. And as I explain in the forthcoming edition of Rishima, what Rebbe did in history was, before Rebbe, like Ashur Goyin explains, when people learned halachas, what they mostly did was they dashed psukim. They dashed psukim. And for example, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamre, you know, but they did them in successive generations, were able to overturn drashas of previous generations. What Rebbe did is he put an end to drashas. We see clearly the Amorayim, right, did not make original drashas of halachas from psukim. But rather, what Rebbe did was he put an end to new exegesis from drashas of psukim, and now, from hence onward, all halacha was in fact basically interpretations of mishnayos. Now, what Rebbe did was he relocated the corpus of Jewish halachic activity from exegesis on psukim to exegesis on mishnayos. So, in that case, when it says Rebbe v'Rab Nosson Seif Mishnah, right? What it really means is that Rebbe, right, by redacting the Mishnah, prepared the way, or in fact, encouraged people to do Gemara, which is the, like Rashi explains, like we've indicated, is the exegesis on Mishnayos. Why Rebbe did this, this of course awaits further research and further articles in Rishima Mitzvah Shem, but the fact is that this is what Rebbe did. So, what says Rebbe v'Rab Nosson, that's what it is Rab Nosson, by the way, because Rab Nosson is the Talmud of Rebbe. Rebbe v'Rab Nosson, Seif Mishnah, it means...
What is Rab Nosson?
Rab Nosson was the Talmud of Rebbe, so I think he was more involved in this exegetical process.
He was the
Seifer? No, he wasn't the Seifer, but he was like a student of Rebbe. Rab Nosson probably was involved in Shaka Vatayi. It was nice to listen to Rab Nosson. Anyway, in any case, so in other words, when it says Rebbe Rab Nosson Seif Mishnah, that's a turning point. The turning point is up to, right, that Rebbe Rab Nosson inaugurate the period of Gemara. Now, it could possibly be that Be'etzim, this is what the Gemara is saying. When it says Ravashi Ravina Seif Hayroh, right? What it's saying that this Loshon HaRambam, the Ravashi Ravina, are saying halachas that they know, they're matike, teresh shebi'al peh, that the Rambam says. And then come the Rabbanan Sabarai, and like Rav Shira Goyen says, they're mafalshi perushi, the makava lahayroh. What they're doing is the Rabbanan Sabarai are coming along, and just what the Amorayim did to the Mishnah, the Rabbanan Sabarai are doing to what? to Rav Ashi and Ravina, to members of the Moraya. So in other words, what we do is, Rav Ashi and Ravina are launching a very similar project, right? As did Rebbe and Rav Nosson, right? 250 years before that. Namely, Rebbe and Rav Nosson somehow freezes the Torah Shebe Al Peh in the Mishnaic form, and this inaugurates creative interpretation on the part of the Moroyim. That's what the Gemara is. It's seeking out the Tamim of the Mishnah, the Miyasha Mishnayas Eskestiras. A similar process took place during the time of Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina Rav Ashi froze a certain Messiah transmission of the Moraic statements, even Shakvataya too, lived right at that time, and came to Rabbanan Sobarai. And I claim Sobarai is Misvara. And that's what he says, right? Bifarshi Perushi de Mekavilahi Roth means what they were doing is they were elucidating through exegesis, elucidating the Torah that was in fact compiled and put together by Ravina Rav Ashi. That's what I claim is the Pshat in the Gemara. And what's interesting is it could possibly be that Rav Ashi actually engaged himself in both of these things. Could possibly be that Rav Ashi, because many times we've seen the Gemara that Rav Ashi makes statements, but the Rishonim would attribute the Sakhotai to Rav Ashi. Could possibly be that, like Rebbe sometimes makes statements in the Mishnah, in his name, but Rebbe put together the Mishnayos. So Rebbe is sort of like this, you know, this figure that's partly in the Mishnah, partly not in the Mishnah. So Rav Ashi is the same thing here too. When Rav Ashi is staying over, saying something, a statement over, right? Maybe he's been Gefarish a Mishnah. Then, in fact, that's Rav Ashi is one of the Amorayim. But then sometimes Rav Ashi is acting as the Stam of the Gemara in the Shach of Atalia. There he's enjoining in the change of paradigm that takes place after this period of what's called Hayah. So, in other words, the way I want to learn in Bava Metzeah, and that's, I think, it's the Pshatan of Shira Goyim. What happens is, this Mefashi Hayah began with the Sabarayim, and where does it end? It ends with Rav Yosi. And that's what he says, Istayin Talmudah. In other words, Talmudah means the exegesis of the, you know, the proto-Talmud, you know, which exists until and up, including Avinu Rav Ashi. There's a Shach V'Taya on that Gemara too. And then at a certain point of history, that's ended, and that's called the Stein Talmudah. And that's called Talmud, in the true sense of the word, because that's the Spitz Talmud, that even, same as the Baroya. So, the fact is that I understand this to be the Pshani. So in other words, there's not a Stila, right? Now, where is my Pshat different than the Pshat of the Deiras HaRishayna? I'll tell you why. Because according to Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi, you know, after Rav Ashi, they were tying up loose ends. In other words, so that's a very nice, you know, it's a very simple Pshat. But, you know, I mean, tying up loose ends, I mean, so what's in the middle of Rav Ashi? But according to what I'm saying, actually, it comes out that the Abundant Sabarai cannot come directly and argue on a Moraim before them. All they could do is be mafarish the Moraim before them. Or mafarish the mafarshe of Moraim before them. Just like an Amora can't come to argue on a Mishnah, he'll only be mafarish a Mishnah. So according to what I'm saying, the statement of the Gemara, Vida Rav Ashi, Sofei Ra, is a much more significant statement. Because what it's saying is that the process, Talmudic process, until Vida Rav Ashi, is frozen. And all the Abundance of Barai could do is be mafarish the Talmud they had in front of them. And that, in my opinion, you know, makes more sense in the text. Yeah.
According to this Pshat,
yeah.
Do you have any feel for how much of the Shach Levitaria in our Gemaras is pre-Rav Ashi and Ravina
so that's,
and how much is after?
So Lamai said that's going to be the subject of the next 19 lectures. And that's very, very significant. Because the Deiras HaRishayim, Rav Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi, for example, like this, from the Tosfos, it's a mashma, the Sakhavataya that we see in the Gemara is mainly from Rav Ashi. The Deus of Rishayna wants to say not like that. Rishayna wants to say, he wants to claim that the Shakal Vatar, the Gemara, that comes actually from the time of Abai Avarava. It's a four of Ashi. As far as he's concerned, and that's called Havayas the Abai Avarava. Havayas the Avarava. There's Havayas the Ra, there's Havayas the Rava. In other words, that he wants to claim that there was a proto Talmud that was edited by Abai Avarava, and there's a Stam of the Gemara. That's Rabbi Avirava. And one of his riyas is that we see that sometimes in the Stam of the Gemara, and then comes Ravashi, and Ravashi basically comments upon the Stam of that Gemara. So he wants to claim, what do we see? What do we see? So we see that the Stam of the Gemara must have come from a generation before Ravashi, and he identifies that with the Rabbi Avirava. Those are the two big heavyweights, you know, right? And then, because what's bothering is that how can Ravashi comment or refer to a Shakal Vatar in the Gemara? So, in other words, comes there a Shoyin, like I said, and says, look, there's a Shakal Vatar for Ravashi, a Stam, that comes from Abai Avarava, and Ravina Ravashi had that Shakal Vatar in the Gemara, and they can add that Shakal Vatar in the Gemara. That's one of his rayas. Ah, the Shakal Vatar at Ravina Ravashi, that could come from either Ravina Ravashi or from the Rabbana Sabarai. In other words, that's one of his arguments. So, in other words, he's accepting the fact that the Stam of the Gemara, it's not necessarily after or before. That's the Osir Rishayna. Now, the fact is that the issue of the Stam Gemara is not a portion of the Stam Gemara. You know what? The Stam Gemara is very yeah. Shriya
Gaon says that the Gemara ends with the Rav Yossi.
The Stam Talmud.
But we find Gaonim in the Gemara as well.
I understand that. So that's a machlokes. For example, Tosfos and Ksuvos Beis Amud Beis, Parsha Ravacha, and there's a whole machlokes, is that Ravacha going or not, and everything. It's very, very interesting that Rabbi Isaac Stein says, we see that the objection was not that it was going in the Gemara. It's another objection. The reason why they're sure they were going in the Gemara. Okay, fine. In other words, whatever is said is true, like, you know, 51% of the time. In other words, whatever is said, there are going in, the baby going in. For example, Vehil Chasa. Is your do it to be for the halachas gedolos? Okay, but independent of these, we've got the major corpus of the Gemara.
So when was the? So first of all, can you give a year for the end of the Stamayim and the beginning of the Gaonim?
That's the big question. First of all, she's also something. I don't say that I hold with the Stamayim. Whatever it is, that's a big question too. The Gaonim, strictly speaking, are probably around, let's say, the eighth century. That's really, really speaking, the Gaina. That's really the Gaina, 8th century.
So the Sabarim finished then.
Pashtus, right. But once again, you know, with Halivni's theory of Stamayim, I mean, ranges. In fact, actually, every volume that comes out, he changes his mind. He first had one sheet, then another sheet, from a Mizim of Basakim, another sheet, he's located early, this and that. We have to know is that we know very little about Jewish history from the 5th century to the 9th century, 8th century. We know it's almost like a black hole in Jewish history. We know very little about Jewish history. We don't have to, right? I'm quoting Professor Zussman in his article.
The Gaonim, from
the Gaonim, then we know much more, because we know that already from the Gaonim, this Rav Sajid Gaon, of Haim Gaon, they always start writing something. So from the Gaonim already, you know, already Jewish history, you know, starts, is being recorded. But from the period from the 5th century to the 9th century, we know very, very little. There's very little that we know about Jewish history there. And that's actually the writing of the Talmud. If you take the position of Isaac Stein, which is the opinion of the Smak, the Talmud is written first in the 8th, 9th century, right? And you locate, that's even the end of the Estayim Talmud, Rav Yosi, let's say the 5th century. You're talking about 300-400 years. When was it written? I mean, the first witnesses, testimonies of a written Talmud are first in the 9th, 10th century. No one attests at all to anything being written. The Shita of Rashi, we'll say this in Mirza Shabbat, Erev and Sanach Bezal with Beis, is that during the time of Amorayim, nothing was written down. In other words, the first testimonies of people who said it's written in the Babylonian Talmud, or first in the 9th, 10th century. This is like a black hole in Jewish history. We don't know what happened during these 400 years.
In your opinion, What is the latest time people would still make additions to the Talmud that we have today?
It's clear. Look, the Hilchas Gedolos is in, I don't know, the 9th century, something like that. So he's the Hilchasa. Okay, whatever it is. But the saying is that, but by the time you have the 9th century, the Talmud is more or less what we see it.
So we're talking 100 years before Rashi, or less?
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, the first Eidos, which, when you think about it, it's an incredible thing. The whole thing was memorized hundreds and hundreds of years. In fact, actually, there's Eidos, testimonies, even term the Gaon, even though it was written Gemara, when they taught the Talmud and the academies in Surah and Pabadizah, they taught it Be'al Peh. It's an incredible thing. The Mishnayos were taught 800 years Be'al Peh. They wrote private notes, but actually the whole thing was Nishna Be'al Peh. The whole thing was taught Be'al Peh. They weren't taking the private notes, but the people said it Be'al Peh. Not only that, it's an incredible thing. You're talking about an entire corpus of Mishnayos, said Be'al Peh. The Gemara very rarely has a suffix with the gears of a Mishnah. In fact, the Gemara is never the Zopek. So the Gemara always says a hey or an ayin, whatever it is, in the Vodazola, right? But a day, with Aleph and ayin. But other than that, the Gemara Kimad has never been stopped on what the gears of a Mishnah is. The Gemara says, hache, mikre, this and that, but that's the Gemara's interpretation. But you have to understand that there was an oral law that was continued for, I don't know, probably about 800-900 years, unabetted. Without a suffix, I'm a guest of a Mishnah, which is an incredible thing. You think about it, it's mind-boggling.
This is in the Shita of Rav Isaac Stein and the Smag. The Rambam says that they wrote the Mishnah down.
Rav Isaac Stein would disagree with you. He says that's the Pshat the Rambam. He claims that's the Pshat the Rambam. We're going to get to this. It's not Pshat the Rambam. In fact, I think almost definitively, Rav Isaac Stein brings very, very convincing rayas. Certainly, there are enough Rishonim. It's true that it's a machlok as the father of the Ashkenazim. But whatever it is, Rav Isaac Stein says, even in the Rambam, it never says Rav Ashi was Mechaber, the Talmud. And even when it says written, he explains it a different way. I mean, this is a... there are very, very strong rayas in the Shas that clearly indicate that during the time of the Malayim, right, nothing was written down. Everything was said Be'al Peh. We see in the Gemara that I quoted in Gittin, there was only that even Mabar Rav Ashi wasn't me metal to say with that editor. But he argued on his father. He didn't have a Mishnah. The fact is, it wasn't until after that, the generation after that, L'chayr from the Gemara Shkal Vatalia, that the Gemara claims, Eitz L'Shem L'Shem, Fegel Seh L'Sechem. Okay, now.
Is the Rav using this to explain the Rambam Sheik also? This idea of there being, a progression of paradigms, which one is fundamentally a new project. Right, so when the Rambam says that Rabbeinu and Rashi is Sefer Ra, is the end of the Gemara, and the Rambam also holds that has halachic consequences because the Gemara is the last word on halacha.
Right.
That would imply that anything that comes after Rabbeinu and Rashi, even if it's found in the Talmud that we have, in the Gemara that we have,
That's a very interesting statement. It's a little bit of a dangerous statement, but you should also remember there isn't a gels of the Rambam's mashal with it. The Rambam does maybe we'll get into it another time. There are statements of the Rambam which seem to indicate that there are certain types of shalotas the Gemara that a person alibda hilchasa, I don't want to say the word ignore, but can learn, can understand critically. There's a negeros of the Rambam like that. But what exactly he means by it is not clear. Yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, we'll stop over here. I'm sorry we actually got a little bit of a tangent. But Emir Tashem, the next lecture, I'm going to go actually more detail in the sheet of the Deres Rishonim. I will take a look at some of the rayas inside the Gemaras. And we're going to see exactly, how this all plays out. Okay? Until then, kol tov.